Morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. Nice, cool day outside, and good to be in the house of the Lord. And excited to have everybody here. Some more back with us today. People getting better, maybe getting back off trips, and we'll have to. I know Kim and Jody's gone. They gone to Dave Ramsey, so to get back, they'll be selling their house. Anybody needs a house, but ask you for be much in prayer for those families around us that are hurting. There are so many. I know we have had many friends and families lost loved ones this year, and I was thinking about the 2019, how tough it was, and 2020 seems to be starting pretty tough, but it's probably always been this way. We just tend to notice it as we get older, and one thing we're certain of, that God's still in control. He ain't lost control one bit, and he's still as powerful as he's ever been. And he always will remain as powerful as he ever will be. So thanks be unto that. What an honor it is to get to serve a living, powerful, holy God. This morning I asked you just to forget everything for a little while. I know we tend to think our minds get flooded with things that we've got to do. We got that's on our mind, on our hearts, and all this. But let's see if we can take just a little while, forget about all that, and focus on just worshiping him this morning. We'd be amazed what he'll do in our lives and our church if we could just fully focus on him and get everything else behind us. And but this morning, do we have those that need prayer? I know if you got to know anybody needs it, you ask us and we'll do our best to pray for them. Amen. Yes. Brad is, Amberly's worked for his wife for years, and Brad's from Tallapoosa. Holds office in Tallapoosa. I'm not sure what he's a commissioner up there in Harrelson County, but Brad is in his 50s and was diagnosed with several cancer in several places. It's not a good report, but y'all will remember him and Susie and their family as he goes through this time. Any others? Y'all quiet this morning. Have any praise reports? We forget that so many times. I've got one. My dad is doing way better. He's in a nursing home over at Cleveland County, and wasn't many weeks ago that Bremen Hospital was wanting to send him home on hospice. Went and saw him yesterday, and he was talking like his old self, and he called me last night when we was eating supper, and we'll know what time the race comes on. So he's back to normal. And so he's excited about that race coming on today, so... you know, he's doing way better. And thank the Lord for what he's done. So, any others? Amen. Yeah, go to Walmart and personal shop. Ask for Abby. I think she wanted that job because you can shop all day and get paid for it. Exactly. I know Stephanie used to shop and put everything in a buggy and then go back and put it up. We didn't have the money to buy it, and she said it just something about it does something to you just to be able to get it. So if you need to do that, Walmart will hire you.
I miss my calling.
Any others? But seriously, remember her. She's going for orientation. She'll be starting. Today's just orientation for her, but she'll be working at Walmart when she's not in school. And so maybe it works out for her. Any others? Amen. Remember that. Anything else? Not Keith, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Thank you. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. Thank you.
Darkest night, oh, radio sounds.
Like Rudy says, I'm on. Amen, however it is. Well, I appreciate that singing this morning. Excited to be in the house of the Lord and get to preach one more time. And if you got your Bibles, be turning over to Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and 39. As you turn it over, I want you to think about this, that we all have something in our lives that we need to overcome. You could go through the Bible and you can find places where Jesus healed all kind of things. He healed diseases. He made the lame to walk. He made the deaf to hear. He made the blind to see. He took away the relationships that shouldn't be there and made them right. And everything he touched was the people was better for it. This morning, I thanks be unto God that I believe today that he can still touch. I believe he still will touch lives. I believe he'll still take things away from us. He'll still make us new. Most of all, I want you to see this morning, if you had a title for the sermon would be, you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. You may not see it, but inside of you is the ability to overcome anything that's in your life. Now listen, I'm not saying that you have it in yourself to overcome it, but what lives inside of you by the Spirit of God, if you have been saved, you have the power to overcome. You tend to say, well, preacher, you don't know how weak I am. You're right, I don't. But I know how strong God is. I know how powerful he is and what he can do in your life. And I've read story after story about people who have fought battles, many different things. You can read about them. There's people who've overcome cancers. There's people who've overcome addictions to many different things. But And listen, one thing you'll always see is that they understood who God was in their lives. And those who don't do that, they may get better for a little time, but it will come back. But those who are truly healed from God, I believe that He heals completely. Now listen, I realize that as humans, we can fall back into things, but the power lies within us to be overcomers. Overcomers. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. If you would stand this morning, you need a little exercise. It's a little cool outside and get you stiff. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. Very familiar scripture. It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Father, we thank You today for this word. God, we thank You for this scripture, God, of what it means to us, and Lord, of how it speaks. It's a book that's alive, God, because it is Your word. And God, we thank You that it never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we ask that be one here that don't know You, that God, You'll open their hearts, You'll draw them to You, and that God, they'll see the need for a Savior. God, we pray this morning that those of us that have been saved, we put our trust in You, that God, You let us understand that inside of us, inside of every person, is an overcomer. If we'll just realize it, Lord, that You're there. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. There is an overcomer within every one of us. I think most of us don't ever see it. We don't ever realize it because we are believe lies from the devil. That's the only reason. Well, we tend to listen to him telling us that. Stephanie mentioned this morning, we was talking about an issue. She said, if you're told something long enough, you begin to believe it. And I believe we listen to lies from the enemy so much that we become to believe that we are weak and that we are helpless and there's nothing that we can do. But I hope today through this scripture to show you, if you'll realize some things, that you can understand that you can be an overcomer of no matter what situation lies within your lives. There's a very familiar emblem that we all see on a daily basis, probably on a daily basis. If you work in any place that the mail runs or that this place delivers to, or you drive up and down the road, you'll see this sign of FedEx. Now listen, somebody showed me this years ago. I know I've showed it to y'all, but every time I see this FedEx emblem now, I no longer see FedEx. I see the arrow. The minute I see it, the arrow comes to, it just hits me right in the face. And how many times did I look at this emblem for years and years and years and never understood that arrow was there until somebody pointed it out. And once it's been pointed out, I cannot see it. I see a truck going down the road and the arrow comes out. I see a package come to my office and I see the arrow. I don't see FedEx anymore. So what I want to show you through that is there is an overcomer that's lying within you that you have not seen yet, but it's there. That emblem was designed. That didn't happen by just some happenstance. The designer of that emblem made that arrow to be there, and it just pops out sometimes. Toyota emblem is the same way. In a Toyota emblem, it spells Toyota. BMW is the same way. There's emblem, we go all through it. There's all kind of things and messages written into it. The Wendy's emblem, there's things there that you don't see until somebody points it out. Then you see it. But today, in every single one of you, I want you to think about this. There lies in there an overcomer. Can overcome anything. Listen, the first thing you need to do is you need to realize the promise. You've been given a promise of you being able to overcome. But until you realize it, you remain powerless. Until you understand it, you remain powerless. We all have things in life we must overcome. We have some addictions, some have health issues, some relationship struggles. One thing for certain, life is a few days and full of trouble. Anybody in here have any troubles? Anybody? Boy, y'all better than me. Anybody have any struggles? But as a believer, you are overcomers. We're overcome means to, listen to this. This like to make me shout by myself. The word overcomer means to succeed in a problem or difficulty. Succeed in a problem or a difficulty. And my friend, we all have problems. But realize the promise that's in us. John 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 3. Listen to this. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. I read that and I thought, these things have I spoken unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, the very word of God, that you may have peace. in any situation that you can find. I don't care what you want to point out today. I challenge you to find, to search these scriptures and tell me that the answer is not there. You will not find it. Whether it's finances or sickness or any problem, my friend, inside here lies the solution to your problem. And he written those things in here that you might have peace. His desire for you today is that you have peace. And as long as you have struggles, as long as you have problems, you know what you don't have? You don't have peace. But when you become an overcomer, then you have peace. He said, these things I've written you that you might have peace. He says, in the world you have tribulation or troubles. It's full of troubles. Hey, that old serpent, when he come in, we studied about it in our Bible lesson this morning, about when the sin, the fall of man occurred. The moment that happened, Terry, trouble come into the world. The thorns and thistles come up, and death came to be, and troubles become in there. The first brothers that was there, one killed the other one. Hey, troubles come into the world. He said, I wrote this word to you that you may have peace, because listen, in that world you live in there, it is full of trouble. Life's a few days and full of trouble. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There lies your promise. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you're sitting there thinking today, but listen, I'm not Jesus. No, you're not Jesus. But the good news is today, he says, if I leave, I'm going to send another comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Ghost of God. And today, if you're saved according to the Word of God, at that moment you receive Christ, he comes into your life, he takes up residence, and you're made joint heirs with Christ. You're given all the powers he has. You're given all the ability to the power of the Father. And listen, you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. You've been made an overcomer. You can look in the mirror and say, hey, there lies one of the most powerful things in the world, because it's indwelled by the Spirit of God. There lies in that mirror I'm looking at. Boy, that's a picture of an overcomer. That's a picture of a person that nothing can get a hold of, that can't be released. That's a picture of a saved, born-again believer that God loves, that God would go to any measure to make you an overcomer. But you've got to realize that promise. I have overcome the world. Do you believe that today? Do we really believe that? When we see conditions that look dire, do you believe that? When we see situations that don't seem we have a way out, do you believe that? You may look at your bank account and the power bills due, and you may say, I don't know what's going to happen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he truly has overcome the world? Of everything that the world has, he says, hey, the world is trouble, but be of good cheer, be happy. Don't get down and out. Don't poke your lip out. Don't run and hide, because I've got good news for you. Although it's full of trouble, I have overcome every problem that the world has to offer. Every problem. Boy, you look around the world today, as we're seeing, we're in the middle of an election cycle, and boy, it's hard to believe what some of them people stand for, ain't it? You think, oh my goodness, if they're elected, this is going to happen. If they're elected, that's going to happen. I want to remind you of something else, that God answers the prayers of his people. You know what I would do if I was worried about the election in the United States? I'd get on my knees in prayer. You know what I'd do if I was worried about the situation in my family? I'd get on my knees in prayer. You know why, honey? Because I cannot handle it, but I serve one that can. He can handle any problem. He can overcome anything. Anything that comes against you, he is able to overcome it. It's not me saying it. It is the promise of God. Why in the world are we so weak? Why in the world are we scared to death? Why are our knees knocking? Or why are we a bunch of sissies today and we won't stand for anything? It's because we don't believe and we don't understand the promise of God that he has overcome the world. Boy, you look around the world, they'll say just anything, won't they? Oh, and our Sunday school lesson, boy, it was good this morning. It brought out something I ain't thought about. Everywhere you look today, people says, well, just follow your heart. If somebody will ask, what should I do in this situation? We'll say, well, honey, just follow your heart. That is the wrong advice you can ever give anybody, because your heart is deceitfully wicked and it's no good. You follow the Word of God, you follow the leadership of God, and you don't pay attention to that old nasty heart unless it has been changed from God. And if God has come in it, then you might say, but you listen to the leading of the Holy Ghost of God, and that's how you overcome the world. It is a promise he has given. I have overcome the world. Boy, we ought to shout this morning. He said, may you have peace. May you have peace. Because you know I've overcome the world. He tells in Matthew 28:20, the latter part of that verse, He says, and lo, I'm with you even always until the end of the world. He said, I'm with you all the way until the end of the world. There's not anything that I won't be with you through. Whether it's something that you're scared to death about, or listen, it's even this. Some things you think you can handle on your own, he's still with you. Because we get the big head and we think, well, God, I don't need you for this one. I've got this thing. And then we wake up, we got ourselves in a mess. And I've seen something on Facebook lately. Somebody posted, said, the thing I love about God is he'll get you out of situations you put yourself in. Is that not good? You know why? Because I put myself in more situations than any enemy I've got. I'm my own worst enemy. I put myself in places I shouldn't be, in situations I shouldn't be. And listen, God's always faithful to get me out of them. Thanks be to him. We need to understand and realize the promise that he has overcome the world. Secondly, you need to realize the power. Realize the power. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. If you don't understand much, but if you don't understand much about 1 John, understand this one thing. 1 John is written to the little children. You know who the little children are? It's you. It's the saved. Now, all these people said, we're all children of God. My friend, don't believe that. We're not. The children of God is those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the children of God. Listen, they're children of the devil. The Bible teaches that thing. But we are the children of God. The 1 John was written to me and you. The saved people who trusted Jesus Christ is who 1 John is written to. And 1 John 5, 4 says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Faith. How do you overcome the world? You realize the power. He says, whoever is born of God... Now, what did Jesus teach Nicodemus? Thou shalt be born again. You're going to see inherit the kingdom of God, you must be born again. He says, how can I go back in my mother's womb? He said, that ain't what I'm talking about. You must be born spiritually. He said, the flesh is the flesh, the spirit is the spirit. You must be born spiritually. Listen, back in that before that fall happened, we was alive. It came, death entered in. We all become sinners because of sinners. The wages is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through him. And thanks be to God today, we can realize the power that is in him. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born again? That's a simple question. Are you born of God this morning? You cannot be an overcomer until you figure out if you are born of God. It didn't say everybody was an overcomer. It didn't say that everybody can overcome everything in the world. It said, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Those that are born again overcomes the world. Now, Revelation teaches us a lot about being an overcomer. We'll get there in a minute. It says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Here's your power right here. This is a power that you must realize if you're to realize that overcomer that's inside of you that you see when you go to the mirror and don't look at that person that everybody tells you you are. Don't even look what yourself tells you are. If you want to find out who your identity is, you must go to the Word of God. That's who you are, who God says you are. It's not who you say you are, who the world says you is. That boy, that was good. Says you is. That sounded like a different church there. Says you are, but you are an overcomer. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, I ain't going to live that one down for a while. Even our faith. Listen, the power, the engine, if you want to say it that way, that powers your overcoming is one word, faith. It's the only thing you have. It's the only power you have available that can overcome anything is the faith you have in a living Savior. The faith you have in Jesus Christ. It's our whole Christian life. Everything about us, everything spiritual, everything to do with anything, you study out your Word of God, and it'll tell you it's all powered through faith. How are you saved? By grace through what? Through faith. How do you live daily? Through faith. How do you overcome these problems? Through faith. This verse shows us the only way we're overcomers. The only power we possess is our faith that moves God. Do you understand that? You have something that moves God. You can move the very founder of the earth. You can move the very creator of everything by faith. He said, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, move, and it'll be removed from you. He said, remember that scripture where it says, who then can be saved? He said, how hard it is for a rich man to go to heaven? He said, it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle. And then he said, well, who can be saved? And he said, well, that's as impossible with man as possible with God through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11. You cannot please God without faith. That's how God created this thing to work. It's not by works based. It's not by anything based. It's based on the faith you have in what Jesus Christ has done and the power he has. There lies your power. One word, faith. Boy, I tell you what, mine gets weak. Y'all sing a song about a little faith is all it takes. And I'm glad because mine's weak. You think about how small your faith is. You see, we say we have great faith. We say we do. How many of you have ever spoke to a mountain and it be removed? I haven't. Have you? Maybe you've had some mountains spiritually removed. Maybe you've had some mountains emotionally removed. But I've never spoke to a mountain to Mount Chehaw and say, I wish you was over here. He said, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You see, I say all the time, and I'll continue to say it, I don't believe we believe what we say we believe. If we believed what we say we believe, we wouldn't have any anxieties. We wouldn't have any troubles. We wouldn't have any trials, hardly. They would be there, but we wouldn't worry about them. We wouldn't have anything that we wouldn't assure that we could overcome. We wouldn't need all the medications we take. Now listen, I'm not against that. I believe it happens. You need it sometimes. Don't go say I said that. That's not what I'm meaning. What I am meaning is we could cut way back on what we do if we truly had faith that God is what he says he is and can do what he says he can do. In their eyes, the victory is your faith. The power. Realize the power we have. Our faith is a victory. Do you understand that you have victory over that circumstance before it even gets started? You have victory. It's already promised. If you have faith in a living God, you have victory over that situation. No matter what it is, you have won. It don't hold nothing to you. You have overcome it. You have beat it already. And the struggle's not even begun. I read the scripture this week about where there's all in a battle. And the leader there, I think it was Jehoshaphat, went and prayed unto God. And said, God, we're in a struggle here. What are we going to do? And God said, stand still and watch what I can do. And in so many words, that's what he said. They went out. They didn't even fight. He said, the battle's not yours. The battle belongs to God. They went out. They didn't fight one. They didn't even raise their hand. And bless God, he turned those enemies on one another, and they destroyed themselves. What I'm telling you today is the battle is not yours. The battle is God's, and you've got the victory through faith. Every one of you. Most of the time, I preach and beat us down. Today, I want to lift us up. And you know, let us understand something. We need to understand we have problems. We need to understand we're sinners. But we also, to be what God wants us to be, must understand that we are overcomers. Even though we find our struggles, we find our shortcomings, we find our problems, we must also find our strength, which lies within our faith. Our faith. Our faith of victory. Then 1 Corinthians, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 or 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ever see any situation right there tells you you're promised and the power is in Jesus Christ. The victory. Give us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you come to victory over any situation? Jesus Christ. What's the answer to every problem? I know it sounds cliche and churchy, they say, in the world. But listen, he is the answer to every struggle, to every problem, to everything, is Jesus Christ. You could take away all the other self-help books that lies in the world because they're hogwash. Yes, you can do better. You can stop eating so much and run and you'll get in better shape. But listen, you can't add one day to your life. So how in the world do you get victory over any situation? It is through Jesus Christ. You want self-help, you get in Jesus Christ. You get in his word. That right there is the best self-help manual has ever been written. It was written by an author who is perfect. Any other author, I don't care if it's Warren Wiersbe, J. Vernon McGee, Fawcett commentaries, or any of those other things, they've got opinions and they've got ideas. And I read them and I get ideas from them, but listen, your final authority better be the word of God. Its author is perfect. realize the power. Lastly, realize the protection. The protection. Realize the protection. Romans chapter 3, verse 37, 39. We're back to where we started. It says, nay, or in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you read anything in that scripture that said God couldn't handle something? It said he could handle any creature. It said he could handle any angel. It said he could handle any principality. He could handle any power. He could handle anything, and nothing can separate you from that love. Hey, listen, it says, I believe that we are included in that. You have those that believe that once they come to Christ, that they can be lost again. And y'all know I don't believe that because of this scripture right here. Because nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus, nor creature, nor angels, nor anything, nor principalities, or anything that ever will come, nor heights, nor death, nor any other creature can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing. Realize the protection. We're protected by the love of Jesus. The one word that describes Jesus more than any other word in the scriptures is love. It describes God. God is love. We are protected by the love of Jesus Christ. My friend, he loved you so much. He came, he was born of a virgin. By the way, he just didn't come to be when he was born of that virgin. He had always been in eternity past. He always will be. He is an everlasting being. But he come in a human form, was born there in a lowly manger in a poor place. He lived a life that was perfect. He died a more worse death than anybody has ever died. There's nobody ever been beaten as bad as him, I don't believe. And even if they have, they were not righteous. He was righteous. His beard was plucked out. All these things was done to him. In all these things, he showed me something, that he loved me. And I'm protected by that love. You see, if he didn't love me, he wouldn't have gave the best gift there was for me, which was his only begotten son. And if he wasn't going to protect me, then why would he have saved me? If he wasn't going to keep me, why would he have got me? Do you know of anything that's ever gotten away from God? I read all these things that come. Every week you look on your news thing, if you got it, and you don't need it, but I'm some reason I want to look at it every day so I can get depressed. But you look at it, they come up with a new reason of why the earth's going to be destroyed. Y'all ever seen it? If you look at Fox News even, you'll see it. There's an asteroid coming at a pace that they don't know what to do, what we're going to do about it. Oh, this thing is, we got global warming, we're going to all burn up. And then the next week, we got all this freeze in our oceans that are trapping the nitrogen under the oceans, and it can't get out, and all these things. We don't know what we're going to do. Every time, it's something else. May I tell you something? That we are protected by the love that is in Jesus Christ. Nothing can overtake it. All this stuff the scientists come up with is hogwash. God is in control and always will be. There lies your overcoming. Realize protection. Nothing can sever the love. Nothing can separate it. Absolutely nothing. Hey, that's what those verses say. Nothing can come between you and God. Nothing. If you can get that in your head, the protection you have, then you can go towards being an overcomer. You know how our children learn to swim? We've had three girls, and swimming is a good example of trust to me, because I remember when I was taught to swim, I had an uncle that was mean, still is. He would throw you in the swimming pool, and then he'd come get you if you needed him to, but he would let you try to drown before, see if you could do it. And you were scared to death, and he'd chunk you in there. But I can remember our girls, when we was teaching them to swim, after maybe not Amberly, but Abby and Ashlyn, we would get them into our swimming pool, and I would stand on the edge, and I'd say, jump. And that they would be hesitant, and the first jump they would make would be a small one. They'd start on the steps, and they would see I wouldn't let them go under. And then they'd move to a higher location, and they would jump, and I wouldn't let them go under. And then they would move to the side of the wall of the pool, and they'd jump, and I'd almost let them go under. And then they'd go to the diving board, and I'd catch them again. But then one day, I let them sink, and they began swimming. But in doing that, they gained the trust that as long as daddy was there, they was going to have a good time jumping that pool. You see, that's the way we are with God. If we can understand that we are overcomers and we have the power, the protection, and everything available to us, then and then alone will we be overcomers. You see, the problem with us today is we've forgotten a little word called trust. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Where I work, my boss had bought a plaque, a little weight, paperweight thing. I come in one morning and I needed to see that more than anything in the world, and he had no idea I needed to see that. And sitting on my desk was a sign that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Always acknowledge Him. We've forgotten that word of trust. You see, as we was growing up, as Nate one day was a little baby. Can y'all imagine old Nate being a little baby? Y'all remember him being a little baby here? I don't. When I came, he was shorter than me, which that's most people. But now he's way taller than me, which is most people also. But when Nate was a little baby, he trusted mom and daddy for everything. There wasn't nothing they could do. The problem arose, he'd run to mama. Same way with all of y'all's children. As they was coming up, they learned a trust. They learned a trust from you providing for their needs. You know how you become an overcomer? You begin trusting in God through circumstances that He meets. He meets this need, and you run to Him. And it becomes, when we do that, it becomes something that's second nature, we run to Him. When a problem arises, we run to the one who can handle it. You have protection in the love of Jesus Christ. Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I said lastly earlier, but I'm going to add one. You must be persuaded. You must be persuaded. You've been given all the promises. You've been given all the power. You've been given all the protection. But it's no good until you believe it. It's not any good until you really take it and you be persuaded about it. Anybody know what the word persuasion means? I'll answer it for you. It means an inward certainty. That's the meaning according to the Strong's Concordance. Persuaded means an inward certainty. In other words, you are certain that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Not a sickness, not a relationship, not a money issue, not a church issue, not anything can separate you from the love of God. And when you become persuaded of that thing, when you got that thing set on your heart, then you can start believing and becoming an overcomer. How do you become persuaded? I wish I had the answer to that one. We had a doctor of theology come talk to us in our Bible college one time. Derek probably runs into that a lot with his degree he's getting. But he come and we had about an hour we could sit and talk to him and ask him any question we wanted to ask him. So I heard all the questions being asked, and you know, I had to think of one better than them, I thought. So I asked him, I said, at that point I was studying a lot about these millennial age people, you know, the crazy bunch that we believe. The millennial age people, I asked him, I said, how the traditional churches or brick and mortar, whatever them fancy people call them, how do they retain the millennials in the day and age we live in? How do you draw them to your church? How do you get them active in your church? He looked at me with an answer that I couldn't believe. He said, preacher, if I had that answer, me and you both could retire. If I had an answer how you can become persuaded, I wouldn't need to work no more. I could write me one of them books, and I could make me a whole world of overcomers if I knew how you could be persuaded. I've come to this understanding. The way I'm persuaded is beginning to trust in God through situations. You ever had a situation going on that you thought, if this thing would happen, then I could know that everything's going to be okay? If I could just get this answer, then I would know that everything's going to be all right. You ever thought that maybe God's just simply wanting you to trust Him? Maybe He's just wanting you to trust Him. God will work it out when the time's right. It may not be your way, it may not be my way, but listen, I'm persuaded that He is able to do all things. This morning, are you persuaded? You'll never be an overcomer until your inward certainty, until you have inward certainty that Jesus is enough. Till you're certain that He's enough, you won't have any inward certainty and you will not be an overcomer. It's easy when all is good, but extremely hard when times are tough and uncertain. You're more than conquerors through Him, but not until you believe it. Till you believe it without a doubt, you'll be confined to a prison of trying to figure out how and what to do. Until you're persuaded. Until you believe that He's enough and He can do it, you're trapped in a prison. We've been working a guy at our work that's in jail in Cleburne County. And he comes to work, boy, he's just tickled to death. And I think, why he's so happy? Then it hits me. He gets to get out of jail for 8 hours. He's tickled to death. But every day when it comes time to go back, his attitude begins changing. He realizes he's got to go back to confinement. And then he'll say, you coming to get me in the morning? What time are you going to be here? You'll tell him a time, he'll say, the earlier the better. He's excited to get out of that prison. Today, many of us are locked in a prison of all kind of uncertainties. And I just preached you a message, which is probably in a weak way, but I just preached you a message the best I knew how of showing you that inside of you is an overcomer. The same thing that's in that FedEx emblem, it was designed there. It was placed there for a reason. You just ain't seen it yet. The reason you ain't seen it is because you're not persuaded. You must come to this conclusion. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. When with Him, nothing is impossible. Boy, it's quiet. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to ask Pat to come play. I'm going to ask you a real honest question. You got anything in your life you're uncertain about? If you do, raise your hand. I'll be the first. Anything you're uncertain about? I've got some uncertainties. Why? It's got to be because I don't trust God. Because I just read you scripture that says nothing can separate me from His love, and that through His love, I've been made an overcomer. Because He has overcome the world, I too am an overcomer. So undoubtedly, my problem lies within me not trusting. And those of y'all that raised your hands, thank you. Those of y'all that didn't, you're liars. Because you're all unsure. Anybody in here tell me that they're going to make it home when they leave here? Anybody in here tell me they're going to be alive at 5 o'clock tonight, and you can be for certain that that's going to be true? If you can, you're a liar. The Bible says you don't know when your next day is. Life is a vapor. It's here for a little while and it's gone. You're not certain about anything. The thing you can be certain about is that you can't be separated from the love of God. And because of that love, you're made an overcomer. It's there inside of you. Today's the day that you can start becoming an overcomer. And I'll even say this, I believe it's a process. I don't believe you become an overcomer by one day. I don't believe you become an overcomer by hearing a good message and then praying and everything, boom, it happens. I believe you made an overcomer by trying God's word. But you got to start somewhere. One thing's for certain, if you don't never start, you're never going to arrive. You got to start somewhere. Today I beg you, trust God. In any situation, you'll trust Him, you'll find Him faithful. I want us to be a church of overcomers. Victorious. You may be here this morning, you've never asked Jesus in your heart. The Spirit of God has tugged your heart, has led you, is leading you, but you're saying no. I want to encourage you today not to worry about how long you've been a member, how long you've been here, how long you've been there. You listen to God. Don't leave this place with uncertainty that you are saved. Because I don't know when your next breath is, and you don't either. The only thing I know for certain is God's in control, and one day you're going to die. If He tarries, He's coming, you're going to die. I don't even know that you're going to die because He may come before I'm done. Steal that body, That old vessel you got here is not going. We're all going that way at some point. Are you certain today that you have a relationship with Jesus? If you don't let anybody, pride or anything, keep you from Him. Church, you come pray if you need to.